Hi, I'm Matthew.
And I'm Jacob.
And I'm Najee. And you're listening to Across the Table.
Hello, and welcome back to Across the Table. It is the core four now. I just coined that term. I hope that sticks.
Core four. I like it.
It's actually a Chick-fil-A term. But anyway, that's from a different days in my lifetime. We are here to talk about the... I almost just went with Good Mythical Morning's tagline. But I won't. And instead, we'll just say...
So we're not...
The question. Not whether it's age or old or not. And it is to be or not to be.
Yes.
As William Shakespeare was so kind to lend to us some time ago.
You know
he invented the word elbow?
I did not know that.
What did we call it before that? Shakespeare invented the elbow?
Man.
Yeah, my arm knee. Like, what?
That's really crazy.
Yeah. I listened to a podcast a little while ago. He invented, like, I think... upwards of 1,000 words that
I think,
we use.
Yeah, yeah, that sounds
like it's something ridiculous like that. Elbow being one of them.
But elbow wasn't already there. That wasn't that long ago. Language has been around.
So what
we've
the
had
fuck
our
they
elbows
call it?
For the entire time of
this is not important. This
yeah.
not important. Especially, the only time it was important was when someone heard it, and then they were like, ah, fix that part.
Like, hey, man,
that part,
watch
yeah.
your
that part hurts.
Thingies.
What did they call it before that?
I don't know.
Like, come on.
I like arm knees. I hope it was arm knees.
I hope it was arm knees.
Have you seen those memes going around where it's like bowls were invented in 1940?
Yes.
And then 1939, it's just images of someone like pouring a massive amount of cereal in their mouth
yes.
and then pouring milk on top
yep.
of it. Oh my gosh. Hal showed
so
me that
good.
Yesterday and I about died.
They're hysterical.
It's so great.
They're like, I love the one where it's like beds were invented. In whatever year. And then the year before that, people were just, like, not sleeping. So it's just...
staying up all the time. It's so genius.
It's such a funny... Yeah,
oh,
it's
great. It harkens back to our... Who was the first person
to
do
something.
X.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's great.
I want to do, like, a comedy skit of that. Like, the first guy to ever swim successfully.
Okay.
Because I've always wondered, like, how many people drown
before we learn how to swim.
And was it like an agreed thing, or was it just like, did you just kick somebody off the boat and
yeah.
you're like, let's see what he does?
Because some of it seems like, how much of it is natural, like, learning to tread water for survival, and how much is it, like, taught? Because someone might have fallen in and been like, I had no sense of, like, how to stay afloat. And then someone else could have fallen in and been like, oh, this is like, you know, doggy paddle, whatever.
I imagine there was wild flailing involved.
Yeah.
But I'd like to imagine that one person's just pure anxiety
yeah.
just caused him to drown.
Well, here's...
Yes.
Well,
and
here's,
another person was like, wait, no, I think this is
I
causing
this.
Me to move
here's
a little
becomes,
bit.
Here's what becomes, like, the really interesting question, though, is just, like, how long ago did we learn how to swim? How advanced was our communication then? Because
yeah.
it's like, I always imagine, like, people had ships. We were pretty far along.
Yeah.
But it totally could have happened in, like, the caveman era where they were just, like, grunting at each other.
Yeah, I'm sure. It had to have been.
He just can't communicate that he's drowning, and everybody's just like...
That's well before the elbow was invented.
He's just waving violently.
Look, yeah. Hey.
Very enthusiastic today.
I think the more interesting question is, it took us probably 0.01 seconds to get sidetracked, because we're talking about existentialism.
But see... Is that not right in line with what does it mean to live?
No, it is, but it's like it took.
Well played,
yeah.
sir. Well played.
I was already rerouting it in my mind.
Yep,
like, yeah, yeah. This is just going to work out real great.
Yeah.
Transition.
Yeah.
Here we go.
But so today, yes, we're talking existentialism. More specifically, what does it mean to truly live life? And coming up with this topic. Done a lot of heavy journaling over the past 3 or 4 days. Like, I think I'm going to need a new journal soon. It's intense. But I just kind of had this contemplation moment of, like, what does my life mean? Mm-hmm. Like, what does it mean to be alive versus just existing? Mm-hmm. And a lot of, you know, other questions follow suit with that. But, I mean, just to get a general consensus of where everybody is, what do you think it means to live?
It's definitely a loaded question.
It's super loaded.
And I think the hard part of this question is personal belief. Mm. And the incredibly large amount of differences there are in every person. Mm-hmm. Because when you get into something like this, it's impossible for me not to talk about faith. Mm. In regards to why I think, you know, my version of living is what it is. So it's a loaded question.
The hard part is finding where you want to start, I think.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. There's so many
aspects.
I think
people start at birth.
Yeah? Is that where?
But I think that's where the bee starts.
That's the beginning. Some would argue that is not the case.
Yeah, that's true. I was thinking about this the other day. Like, when does consciousness start in a baby?
Oh man, jeez,
that's a whole other crazy thought to me. Because compared to the rest of the animal kingdom, our babies come out dumb as shit.
Oh yeah, like
they cannot survive. Nope. Animal comes out with fighting instincts and is like,
what's
all
right, the video we watched?
They can walk like moments after being born. And our kids are like, hey, carry me around for 2 years.
2 years, yeah.
It's like,
come on.
The weird facts guy, the guy who does those videos, he's talking about the tarsier. It's a really funny looking animal.
Yes. Okay.
And he made the comment, he's like, the tarsier can climb a tree an hour after being born.
Yeah.
A human of that same weird age can do nothing.
Can do literally nothing. It's crazy to think, because it's such an interesting idea of when does that start.
Actually, what's interesting about it is the size of the brain, and so how much more has to develop than an animal who, like, coming out, like, it's pretty good on what it needs to know, you know, like.
Yeah.
It's not going to get much more than this.
Consciousness needs a lot of, like, loading time. So, especially for humans.
kids don't have that much RAM.
Well, that's a super interesting thing, is because, like, neurologists, like, talk about your brain, and you are constantly creating, like, links in your mind as you're growing.
Yeah.
And you hit this point where your brain is fully matured. And so it is really interesting to think about, like, our consciousness is still being built.
Well, it's also interesting because the kids have to be, the point you made, Matt, was that animals sort of, they do come out like that, but that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
Ours are like exponential, where it's like you can get increasingly smarter, whereas animals are like, they can learn a bit. They're like, hey, I'm not going to fuck with the biggest lion in that pride.
Yeah.
Well, but that's about it.
It's
They're
funny,
like, maybe I can fuck with the second biggest.
If you think about it, we are really worthless in the wild. Like, completely worthless. Well, no, I mean, like, even us just in the wild now, like, no modern civilization, we would die very quickly.
Well, if we couldn't, if we didn't have the ability to...
Well, if we were the way we are, yeah.
Right. Well, to, like, build, right?
Yeah.
Like,
That's the whole reason.
I think what you're saying is, like, if we were just out there like lions.
Yeah.
And we were just, like, in just naked.
Because...
Just like, all right. Here we go. Like,
a lion.
It's just me and you.
Yeah.
Because a lion is just going to eat when it's hungry.
Yeah.
But we're going to, like, have all these emotions and this deep conflict with killing a baby pig. So we'd never make it longer than a day.
I don't know about that, man. I think morality goes out the door when you're that hungry.
Yeah, no,
you're in the woods, you see something, and you're like, oh, it's so cute. That's not happening. It's dead. It's dead on sight.
You know what? You know what living is? Living is dreaming about being Tarzan from the Disney movie.
Oh, man.
The Disney animation
movie.
Fuck
that. I'm here for current, like, modern amenities.
I just feel like, but just tell me you don't want to just, like, surf slide down trees.
Yeah, but I also want I want to live like Wally.
I'm sorry to kill like dreams big, right now. But like there is no version of the human foot that will ever be capable of sliding down.
That's why it's only dreams.
Barked trees like no, that.
Not possible.
You never. The flesh from your feet would be gone after about 5 seconds
he of going down. He was raised in the jungle.
Clearly it's factual.
Clearly, that
grounded
was based on
in
true
science.
100%. Yeah. It's crazy to think that a child looks at that like it is a hard fact. That is.
Yeah. Oh, dude, I absolutely did. There was no doubt. I mean, it's. Ooh, all right. To live, experiences.
Mm.
So, okay. I've had multiple conversations with people throughout my life, especially you start getting into like the whole consciousness aspect. Once you start getting into teens or maybe like late teens, and everyone kind of hits that point a little later or a little differently. But you start really questioning the things that you're doing, why you're doing them, how you got there, whether or not they're the right things or not. And once that started to hit, I just really started to look back on my childhood and go, you know, man, I watched a lot of Disney movies.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of those shaped the way that I viewed the world.
Yeah.
Like, I was going to be Hercules. I was going to throw myself into the fire, no matter how unwinnable a situation seemed, and I was going to come out heroic, victorious. People were going to praise my name, and then I would just win at things from there on.
Yeah.
Or Simba, it's okay if you run away, just come back. Don't give up, keep fighting. Aladdin, street rat, that's fine. Do what you believe in, and you'll make it to the palace. Find your princess.
It just makes me feel like I'm the most jaded person in the world. Every time I watched a Disney movie, it was just like, that wouldn't fucking happen.
You started
no
jaded.
Way. You didn't start
I'm
there.
So serious. No, Aladdin, it's funny because you bring up Aladdin. Aladdin's like the prime one. It's like, in what world? It's just by some off chance, this master thief gets with the princess and everything works out happily ever after.
That's what happens when you grow up with Najee's dad. Oh, he's like hitting you with the hard questions at 10. You're like, oh, well, that wouldn't happen. Aladdin wouldn't happen if you're talking to me about that. My mom's over here like, you can be whatever you want to be. And my dad's just not saying anything, just providing. So I'm free range to just be like, man, this is how the world works.
I feel like, okay, I remember, this is a perfect episode to talk about this on. I remember when I realized I was going to die. I remember.
Oh, God. Wow, here we go.
I don't remember how old I was. I know I was relatively young, but I remember the night, and I remember it wasn't, I was dreaming when I realized it.
Mm.
So I had just watched the first and second Harry Potter movies with my mom, which I remember neither of. I haven't seen any of the Harry Potter movies. But I know I was watching those because my mom loves the books, and she was like making me, she was like, sure. Let's watch them. Yeah. I was like, sure. So we watched it, and I went to bed. I remember waking up and going, oh, my God, I'm going to die. I'm going to die someday. I was young. Yeah. It was younger. It was before third grade. I know that. Because I was still going to – I switched schools in fourth grade. So I know I was still at my older school. So I was relatively young. And from then on, I have been scared to death. I had real bad anxiety when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Of, like, what happens when everything runs out.
So here's a really good question then. What does that do to influence your decisions that you make?
Oh, God, every day I'm working. Every day I'm doing something because I can't waste a day.
Mm.
It's why I don't sleep at night. That's why I'm up all the time. It's why I always want to be busy because there's a finite amount of time that you have and I always have to be doing something. I don't like days off. There are times when I do like to
get some rest.
Screw off and, like, play video games and stuff like that. And it's, like, they're fun. Video games are especially fun because it is slowly becoming the only way that and, like, movies where I can, and not even movies, where I can, like, turn my brain off.
Yep.
And I can relax. Because movies, those being my life, I am hypercritical of and have to, like, watch with a trained eye. So it's not, like, super relaxing to sit down and watch a movie. It's like I want to watch something good. But with video games, it's like the competitiveness is fun to take my mind off of, like, oh, I don't have to. I can relax for a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I a lot of my everything revolves around running out of time for me.
Super interesting. Because I don't know a time when I realized I was going to die. Ever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's even interesting to think about how little I've contemplated it at 28.
Yeah.
Like, and before then. But I remember vividly sitting in my car with my dad and my older brother. They were in the front seat, I was in the back seat, and I was probably fourth grade, fifth grade, somewhere around there.
Mm-hmm.
And we were pulling into our driveway, and I just started bawling. Nothing had happened.
Yeah.
So to my dad and my brother, that must have been the, like, almost, like, creepiest moment of, like, their lives. Here's the little kid crying, like, bawling in the back. Nothing happened. And my dad looked at me, he goes, Matt, what is wrong? What is happening? And I remember, I told him, and I remember thinking, and I told him, I just thought that one day you're going to die. And I don't know if I can handle that.
Mm. Yep.
And it was such a vivid moment, and it was such a revolutionary thought at fourth or fifth grade for me. Like, because it just, everything kind of was, you know? I have my dad, I have my mom, I have school, this is what I do. I go to recess, recess is awesome, I play some video games, those are fun, we're good.
Yeah.
And then this thought comes.
Yeah.
And it's interesting talking about how it informs. I mean, a lot of my life is lived trying to love other people as best I can.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Taking the time to spend that time loving them and cherishing them and helping them as much as I can. It's super interesting.
Yeah, that's interesting. And mine is just, you know, you tell a story, it makes me remember a story of mine. And mine was a little bit different. It was more like, I mean, obviously that's a fear-based question, but mine was... Like, growing up in church, it's like heaven and hell are always talked about. And so I remember I was at the pool with my family, or at least part of my family, and some friends. And, like, they were legit having, like, a great time. And I was having a great time. And I, like, stepped away for a minute. I don't even know. And I don't even remember the moment in which I had the question. I just remember having a conversation with my mom. And And just to say, I was probably 8, 9, or 10, something like that. And I guess just hearing heaven and hell constantly, it made me go, oh, well, I don't want to go to hell, you know, and whatever. And so, anyways, I legit just sat there and had a conversation with my mom. And it was weird because I look back on it and I go, it was just, like, it's just fear.
Mm.
Like, the only reason I talked about it was because of fear. And then that was kind of like the moment in which, oh, you know, you have the Christian conversation and you get directed to, oh, well, you want to accept Jesus, you don't have to go to hell,
yep.
You know, that whole thing. And so, yeah, it's weird. It's weird how that these memories stick out.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy. I didn't, as the proclaimed Christian at the table, like, I didn't have that growing up. I was never forced to go to church, so I had pretty much zero concept of heaven and hell. Again, just imagine the most innocent kid you could possibly imagine just thinking everything was great all the time, except for the thought that other people might die, and that sucks for me.
Yeah.
That was my childhood. The moment I watched Hercules for the 18th time, Space Jam, I was like, Space Michael Jordan is going to come to my house. We're going to go to the Toon Zone, and we're just going to play basketball, and we're going to beat the
Monstars. Yeah.
Life is
bliss. I get to stretch my arm and make that dunk, like Michael.
It's funny.
and here we are.
The conversation of, I don't know, death growing up has always been deeply... philosophical, because my father is who he is. Like, very early on, he talked to me about very deep things that I had no hope of ever beginning to understand at that age, that I am now really gaining from the lessons he started to teach me. Mm-hmm. But the only thing that really got to me about death was I was never concerned about me, but kind of more on the same page as Matt, of like the idea that that person could go and then that's it.
Yes.
It's just like, but what if, like, we argue one time and then you die immediately after? Like, that's such a shitty page to leave on.
Yeah.
And so that's always been the thing that terrified me the most. But something that my dad always said to kind of bring me comfort, which just kind of falls into beliefs, but this whole idea, like, he used to preach to me, like, your body is just like a ship for your soul, for your consciousness, for your being. Like, your body comes and goes, but you always are. I still don't know what that means fully, but it brought me comfort as a kid. Because then it was just like, yeah, people might physically go, but they're never really gone type of deal.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, that reminds me of, you know, Albert Einstein was terrified of ghosts?
Yes. Mm. Absolutely mortified.
That was like his biggest fear.
Really?
That's crazy. I didn't know.
Because energy cannot be created nor destroyed.
Yeah.
So he was terrified of what happened after the body goes. He's like, well, where the fuck does the soul go? Because that's energy. That doesn't just go.
It's a purely scientific
way to look at
the supernatural.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's really cool.
So he's like, where the fuck does it go? So he's terrified to hell of ghosts.
So just throwing this out there, because I don't want to make this, but somebody should definitely make an Albert Einstein horror movie with ghosts.
With a ghost?
That could be really good.
But then it ends up like A Beautiful Mind, and he's just crazy.
There you go. Done. Sold.
There's no ghosts. You're just imagining things. And he just is.
People out there are like, shut up and take my money.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, and that is interesting. As far as that's like influenced the way that I live, like relationships matter deeply to me. Mm-hmm. And it is, I hate being on outs with people.
Yeah.
It sucks.
It does.
It is the worst feeling. For any reason, it just sucks.
Yep.
And I do one of two things. Either I make every attempt to make whatever's wrong okay, or just completely resolve that I'm never going to see that person again.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I have thought of two Mitch Hedberg jokes in this conversation.
I love Mitch Hedberg. I love
him
so much.
Makes me so happy.
Literally, he writes jokes for a living. And you will notice the moment it starts. He goes, whenever I have an idea for a good joke, and I'm laying in bed and I don't have my pen and paper, and it's across the room, I either have to convince myself to get up, or convince myself that joke was not funny.
It's so good.
It's so good. And that's just, it's literally, either I put in the work, or I just convince myself that we're good.
That the joke
we're
is
good
not funny.
Here.
Yeah. That's, you go.
So that's a part of living, right? Mm-hmm. Like the idea of what's to come is always going to factor into the way that you do things while you're here.
Yeah.
But I don't know, what else is life, though? Mm-hmm. Aside from the obvious inevitable end, like... What's the question I'm trying to get at here?
Well, I think the question that it poses for me, and I'll just ask the question, and I won't speak on it if you want to talk about yours, but the question that it poses for me is, would we live, obviously we wouldn't live the way that we do if death wasn't at the end of our life.
Mm.
So how is it that death changes and has molded our lifestyle into what it is today?
I'd probably go skydiving. I don't want to do that now, but like,
if I wasn't going to die,
it's crazy because for some reason skydiving in my head is like, I can do that. We can do it once and it'll be really fun. It'll be cool. But I see those videos, like just the other day, I saw the video of some person climbing on a mountain that the part that they were climbing on was a foot wide.
Yeah.
And it was just a like 700 foot drop on both sides. And I'm like, I would never
do
that.
But isn't it interesting to think, that people feel the most alive?
Alive when they're nearly dead.
To death.
That's just called adrenaline. That's all that is. I feel most alive when I'm almost dead. That's adrenaline telling you you're gonna die. That's survival instincts. Cool, yeah. The only time I jump out of a plane with a parachute is if the plane was going down. That's like ideal conditions for me skydiving.
My only other option.
That's survival.
I guess I'll take
it. I'm not trying to jump out of a working plane.
It's like my great-great-grandfather used to say, the only two things that fall out of the sky are fools and bird shit.
Yeah.
Which one are you?
That's about it. I'm good. I'll take a hard pass, dude.
Well, it brings up, I mean, obviously, yes, it's adrenaline, but that adrenaline is a drug for them.
Mm-hmm.
The same way, like, you see people, I mean, just addicted to actual drugs.
Yeah.
And, like, they have the same... mostly the same information that we do about life and death. Well, like, they know they are alive, and they know that one day they will die. And they choose to escape from that and having to even think about that by getting some high or, you know. So
interesting. Like, thinking about, like, adrenaline alone, like, yes, it's survival instinct, but I think part of the reason why adrenaline junkies exist is it's a very extreme awareness of yourself.
Yeah.
Like, when your adrenaline's pumping, you can feel blood pumping through you.
Yeah.
Like, the air in your lungs.
Oh, I'm here for it.
What movie are you thinking about right now?
I wasn't thinking of
a movie. You weren't thinking of a movie?
What are you thinking?
The movie that you told me about that, or you watched, now I have no information on it, so I was really banking on you knowing.
Damn.
That was a terrible, I'm sorry.
Oh,
Blue Balls.
Tell me about it. Is it Crank?
It's the adrenaline junkie movie. Where they're criminals.
Point Break.
No? No. It's like Point Break.
Is it the one where they're... Oh, it came out a couple years ago. They were like skydiving and stealing a shit ton of money.
Yes.
Okay, I know what you're talking about.
And like
about.
Towards the end of the movie, they're snowboarding.
I've watched it.
It gets crazy.
It looked like garbage.
I just remember watching it and you being like, oh, I really love this movie. That was it.
I think that's Point Break. The remake.
Is it the remake?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe it's the remake of Point Break.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Then yes.
They did a great job.
The remake of Point Break.
Okay.
But yeah, I genuinely think it's just that extreme awareness of self. And even looking at something like drugs is kind of like the same situation. It's the feeling that it gives you.
Well, I'm here for adrenaline. I'm definitely here for adrenaline.
Yeah.
I like doing things that are like fun and exciting. And like, I love being competitive and I've always loved playing sports. Like, that's awesome. I love that kind of adrenaline.
Yeah.
I just don't like near-death adrenaline, I guess.
Yeah, it's the weed versus cocaine. Debate,
yeah,
you know, like we're chill with weed. We're not gonna OD off this. We're not gonna get super addicted.
Hey, maybe I'll get injured, but maybe I beat somebody at their own game. Maybe
I best
somebody that's
cocaine.
To be
I might die.
Than me. Cocaine's like exactly. I'm
weed
like,
is a safety drug. That's hilarious.
Yeah, yeah. It's weed is a whole other interesting debate.
That is another.
Five years ago, this conversation would be, oh, we don't support weed. We know, blah, 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 just to cover our bases, but now it's just like an open debate.
Well, yeah, I think it's been legal in Atlanta since I lived down here. No, it's not actually legal, but the whole city smells like weed. So, like, I really think nobody gives a shit.
Because it's arrived at the point where so many people smoke weed that you just can't arrest somebody for it.
It's the you can't arrest everyone.
Yeah.
It's exactly that. It's literally 500 people in the circle smoking weed.
Right. Well, when I moved
to
down
be
here,
or not to be,
yeah.
Everyone listening to this podcast in Atlanta, we're all going to go down to City Hall, light up a blunt at the same time. They can't arrest us all.
So one of two things.
No, they're just gonna arrest the people closest to the
building. One of two things is gonna happen. Either we're not gonna get arrested, or they're gonna deploy the National Guard. Because let's be real, they don't have much to do. We got some action. It's a bunch of stoners, but it's still action.
All you gotta do, you don't have to be the fastest. You just can't be the slowest. That's all it is.
You just can't be the slowest.
But in life. Somebody has to be the slowest.
Someone is the slowest, and I'm working hard not to be the slowest, man. That is life.
Oh, man.
There you go. That's one way.
There we go. We solved it.
On the subject of time, I think that's what it is. I think time is more the thing than death is. Because all death does is put a time table on what you're doing.
Yeah.
We're all terrified that we're not going to have enough time for the things that we want. And I think it's, I think that's probably one of the healthiest fears that you can hold, is that you don't have enough time. Because it just makes you, it makes you appreciate things differently. Like, I'll go back to, probably talked about this twice already on the podcast. Maybe not, but, man, what's that really old white guy's name? He's been interviewing people for, like, ever. What is it? Larry King.
Larry King.
Can't believe I remembered that. He was interviewing Neil deGrasse Tyson. He goes,
oh, yeah.
If you could be immortal, would you do it? And Neil, like, very swiftly was like, no, absolutely not.
That's such bullshit.
Absolutely not.
I hate when people answer that question like that.
Well, here's the thing. Well, his answer was warranted, though. He said, how could I ever appreciate anything in life? How can I ever have any form of urgency to want to discover new things or want to understand something if I knew?
It's literally the same. It's almost the same reason you have, where you're like, I have a limited amount of time, and because of that limited amount of time, I need to get the things done that I want to get done.
But it's not because of that limited amount of time that gives life any sort of meaning. Life doesn't have meaning because it ends. Life has meaning because we're here, and it's sort of. That's just more time to do stuff. That's more time to do things. And if you have an infinite amount of time, that's an infinite amount of things you can do. That's an infinite opportunity. That's not, life only means something because I'm going to die someday. That's not true.
That's interesting.
I have lots of responses to it.
As parts of me really want to side with you here.
I watched a great video where some guy had a great argument, and then I was paraphrasing briefly there. But he had some great points where it was like, life does not have meaning just because it ends. Like, that's basically the gist of it.
So, my hypotheticals.
Cheers.
Always come into the mix.
Hypothetical time.
Because, what about the person who's, like, being a slave, tortured, and that's their immortality? Like, the person who's immortal torturing them derives pleasure out of torturing them. And then that person now has to be immortally tortured. Because then I guarantee you, they go, I would much rather die than live here. Like, there's chances, more chances to escape, I guess. Mm-hmm. More chances to figure it out and do it. But at what point is the will of a person broken?
Yeah.
But
it's also like...
That's actually not even my like greatest argument.
Okay.
For me, faith is my thing, where it's like, I believe heaven is after this, so I'm like, look, man, I only got like 60 more years, so I'm just in like perfect peace.
Yeah.
I'm ready to go there. I'm going to do the best I can while I'm here. I'm going to do everything I can while I'm here. And this is where I think a lot of Christians get in trouble, because they look at that and they go, well, I'm out of here in like 60 years, so I really don't have to do anything. It's like, no. You're here. And while you're here, do your best to make everything around you better.
Yeah.
And people really miss that mark, and that's one of my biggest complaints towards Christianity.
Yeah.
But on that same note, like for me, like the reason I could say I wouldn't choose immortality, like ironically, I am choosing immortality after this by believing in it. But it's not immortality here.
I am somewhere in the middle of that, because I am constantly torn between, like, I do have faith and I do think consciousness is a sign of like something. Like, there's got to be a point to everything, you know? Like, we can't all mean nothing.
Mm.
But I also have the rational side of me where it's like, well, maybe we could. Maybe there is nothing.
Sure.
Maybe, and the idea of nothing is what scares me the most.
Yeah.
What is experiencing nothing? And they're like, well, and people are like, no, I don't have to worry about it when I'm dead because I will be experiencing nothing. I'm like, that's terrifying. That's the end of everything you've ever known.
Yeah.
And I've actually grown up and I've been like really, I've given that a lot of thought, or it's been on my mind and it's caused a lot of fear, I'll say. Mm-hmm. And I remember I got to the point one time where I was in bed. And I still contemplate this over and over. But I was in bed, and I couldn't sleep because I was thinking about this. And I go, you know what? There's either two options here. either there is life after death or there isn't.
Yes.
And for me, and I haven't done this well because I still worry, but there's no point, there's really no point in worrying about it because it either is true or it isn't true. And there's nothing that any, no one can prove it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't know. To give me some like solace in that.
That's definitely the only conclusion you can come to. That's where I've gotten to that point so many times. But I feel like, oh God.
I'm so polar opposite, dude. It's just in the idea of like, the idea that there's nothing after gives me a really great appreciation of being here. Mm. Because it's like, if this is it, like, homie, you got 80 to 90 years looking, hopefully, maybe I break into the hundreds, to just do it up. Like, the world is your oyster type of deal. Like, this is your paradise. This is it. This is the moment. And you choose what to do with that moment. You have to make the choice every day how you're going to treat your paradise, because this is what you get.
See, I think what's interesting about that is, for me personally, and ironically, we were talking about it last night, but if there's no after, then I no longer care about a lot of people. Like, and for me, that's what makes my life worth living, is that I genuinely, my greatest goal in life is to make the world around me better as much as I can. And if I know that there's, I just got my life, then it's not, I'm not going to go around being an asshole to everybody. Like, I've appreciated enough. Like, if tomorrow somehow I just knew, hey, there's nothing after this, this is all you got, I've experienced enough of what being kind does that I'd want to continue doing that, but there'd be so much more emphasis on my own life of just being like, I need to go make a lot of money, and I need to go literally just like, I need to live it up. And my living it up in that sense is, I'm going to get away with as much shit as I can, and because I'm going to have a lot of money to be able to get away with it, and I'll be kind to people along the way. Mm. And it drastically alters the way that at least I conceptualize how I would live. This is interesting.
That is interesting. It's so crazy. Man,
see, I think because of how finite the amount of time I have is, I'm trying to not speed run life, but like efficiently live life. Yes. In the sense where it's like, if someone has like wronged me or something, not like if someone's going through a hard time, I'm not turning my back on it. That's not what I'm going into saying, but what it's like, if someone is consistently an asshole, it's like, okay, you're done. I don't have problems cutting ties with people, and a lot of people do. And it's one of those things where it's like, I literally do not have time to invest in you. If you're going to be this way, fuck off.
We're actually very, very similar in that respect.
Yeah, I don't have the time. I literally have this much time. Also, stem cell research, if anybody needs donors, I am definitely here for it. Because like, if you want to use my DNA to make replacement organs, I will definitely do that because I want to live longer. Like, if everything decaying inside of me can be replaced, it's happening.
Yeah, that's absolutely.
Also, the moment I can get a metal arm that's better than my current arm, it's happening.
It's crazy because a lot of people have issues with stem cell research for morality reasons.
Well, that's why we have the Impossible Burger. So
my the thing that bugs me, I think, to consistently live your life trying to cheat death, I think, is to spit on the gift of what life is. We're always trying to find an escape. Mm-hmm. Always. In every way, shape, and form, we're trying to escape the inevitable. Mm-hmm. But I can't help but wonder what our lives would look like if we would just accept that that is what it's going to be. If we stopped putting so much time into trying to prolong ourselves and started to actually appreciate the time that we had. And that's like...
Well, that's... I love that idea. I love the idea of people realizing what they have and appreciating it. But I feel like a lot of people don't even take the time to consider that. Because, I don't know, the amount of people that I see,
go for
I'm going to sound like a boomer here.
Go for
let's
it.
Just go, like, social media.
Yeah. Mm.
The amount of tailgating pictures I get every fucking weekend on my feed is insane. Mm. It's like, cool. Go out, party every goddamn weekend. That's what makes you happy? I guess that's what makes you happy. But, like, that's it. Once you graduate, that doesn't happen.
Yep.
Like, that doesn't happen frequently. So what are you going to do to make your mark? What are you going to do to make a difference? And that's not saying that people at tailgate are useless. That's not even close. Like, a lot of people are like, hey, that's fun. That's my getaway. That's my video games. Like, cool. I get it. That's your thing. But if that's all you're doing, what are you working towards? I was also, okay, this is something, oh, man, this is something I really want to get into. I'm totally going to change the trajectory of this. But these dice right here, dice are reminding me of like chances. Mm. Like, what are the odds I was born into the family I was born into? Mm-hmm. I am so beyond thankful that I was born into the family that I was born into, because my mom raised me to be the person that I am. Mm-hmm. I take a lot of my personality traits from her, I feel like. And I am beyond thankful for that. And like, and I learned how to be personable and charming from my dad. Mm. And I learned how to have an excellent work ethic, and be a provider and be like a man in the traditional sense of the word from my stepdad. And it's just like, the odds of me being born into that and the odds of me being who I am is just insane to me.
Mm-hmm.
And like, yeah, it was bound to happen. Like, if through odds, sure, that was bound to happen. Someone was bound to live that life. But the fact that it's me is crazy. Mm-hmm. And I'm thankful, because a lot of people don't get raised by people that aren't their parents don't impart the importance of like working hard. Yeah. I could have been a totally different person.
Mm-hmm.
I could have been the person. Okay, this is a great way to sum it up. I have never looked at a minimum wage job the way a lot of people look at that job. I look at a minimum wage job as a temporary. It is, okay, this is where I'm at. It is a means to paying my bills right now.
Yep.
And I'm going to do blank, blank, and blank later. My ultimate goal is to make movies. I'm going to do that. Just a matter of how long it's going to be, because that's something I'm never going to give up on. That's literally what I'm going to do forever. And I could have been born into a family where how I was raised is, all right, you work a job, you climb the corporate ladder, and maybe you become manager, you get a pay raise, then you can start buying nicer shit, and then you can do whatever. That's like the normal, mm-hmm. like, that's like the modern-day nuclear family. That's what you do, is like you live in debt out the ass.
Yep,
you
go
work,
to college.
Yeah, you go to college, you try to work your way up, and maybe someday you'll make enough money to where you're not in debt, and it's crazy. And I don't know. I am beyond thankful to be in the family that I am in. And God, there was something I was going to transition into, but I can't remember at the moment. But that is like a huge thing that I think about regularly. Yep. Is I could have been a normal person.
So there's this entire conversation that goes into that the hand that you've been dealt, because...
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to touch on it, because I have something else that I'd rather speak on. But like, to be or not to be, mm-hmm. I just can't fathom that not infused into that question is, what is the hand you've been dealt?
Yeah.
And that is part of to be or not to be. Like, do you decide to continue living based on what you've been given?
Mm-hmm.
And we can come back to that. But yeah. Like, I think going back first to your question. Or your proposal of, if there was a world where we could live, where we just appreciated the time we had, and we didn't worry about how to prolong our own lives, I can't imagine that going back to like our world peace topic, like that's how we get there, because your life a lot less matters towards how can I make my life last longer. It's all about I'm here for this amount of time, and you kind of become more conscious. If you think that way, you kind of become more conscious of the generations after you, because it becomes like, well, I'm only here for this amount of time. The next people to get it, I hope they continue it. So I'm going to show them what it can be so that they can continue this process. So everyone who comes through this life, no matter what hand they've dealt, the world is moving in a better direction. And like, it's a very interesting concept to imagine a world where we're not so concerned with, even if the ideas are there, like I can replace my organs, I can live a little bit longer. Like, even if those were viewed in a lens that said, if I can do that, that's great. I will opt in for it. Let's work towards it. But that's not the priority, because I think that's where you see it being the priority for people that I've had conversations with. Like, that's the only thing that they're working towards. Mm-hmm. Like, that's, if I can get there, then that's it. It does have this almost scary sense to it of what else is informing, you know, what else is like, how does that, and even going back to our conversations of like, you remember the first time you realized you were going to die. And I realized the first time I realized other people were going to die. And how does that inform? Mm-hmm. So it's very interesting to see, like, in the question of to be or not to be.
That's cool. Well, interesting. Something. I'm curious of how people get to the point of wanting to get to delaying the inevitable death. You talked about it a little bit. I don't know. It's very curious, because it just goes back to what you said a little bit. And I'm like, if you're living to delay the inevitable, are you really living?
Well, there's playing it safe and there's wanting more.
Yeah, you know, and I get it's like the other, like it's the, like it's like a different conversation a little bit.
Yeah, but it's also like how you look at it, or I'm sorry, not how you look at it, but like how you decide to act on that. You go, okay, I have this much time. What am I gonna do? And some people become like hermits and are like, I'm afraid to do anything because I don't want to like shorten my time. And there's other people that want to capitalize on what they can do and go, I'm not gonna waste the time that I do have.
Yeah,
there's I don't know.
Well, and the people that you're talking about, the people that are tailgating, right?
Yeah.
These people that's, they're living to be comfortable. Mm-hmm. To me, like, it's funny. I thought of the movie with Matt Damon.
Yeah.
Where there's the other world where they live on, where they're cancer-free. And but everyone else on Earth
Elysium?
Is Elysium. Yeah. Right? This concept of, I think, kind of sits in the back of my mind. One, at what point did the concept of cheating death become viable? Mm-hmm. Because that didn't. That's just recent. Mm-hmm. It's not to say that some people back in older ages weren't contemplating how do I do it, and I imagine it's through maybe like less through science, more through a religion-based. Like,
yeah.
Maybe there's some kind of God I can appeal to. Maybe the fountain of youth is real. Maybe there's something here that's mystical that I can get that with. Mm-hmm. But with the concept of like Elysium, I think, now that this concept is viable, science is proposing concepts that could change that fate or prolong or whatever it is, I see someone like you talking about, Corey, talking about the excitement of prolonging, coinciding with not wasting your time.
Yeah.
Versus someone saying, I'm just going to spend as much of my time as I can getting as much money as I can so that if it comes along, I'm first in.
Yeah.
And that's my entire goal in life, is just to accrue enough money and status that I can be first on the ship. Mm-hmm. Because we might be close enough, and that's wasting time to me. Mm-hmm. That's wasting life. Like, the amount of opportunities you pass up because your only focus is you getting to live longer, that's where it becomes dangerous to me. So, like, I hear you talk about it, and it's more towards that concept of coinciding with. Mm-hmm. Like, if it comes along, I'm in.
Yeah.
But I'm not, that's not the only thing that drives my life. Like, right. I'm here now, what can I do now?
And well, right, there's the person that's like, all right, I'm going to have money because I'm going to be first one in.
Yeah.
And then there's the person who's like, I'm going to devote my life to research on how to prolong life. Like, I can't imagine. Mm-hmm. Just I'm going to accrue money, and if the opportunity presents itself, I'll have the money to pay for it. Right. That's crazy. If you're doing the, like, all right,
so that's
gonna,
what I'm saying. Like,
I'm going to develop.
People out there like that.
I right. know that there's people out there like that.
It yeah, but if that's the way mind. They're living their life, what so, job do they have? Where are they? How are they making money?
So here's the.
You know what I'm saying? If that's their life, they're working an easy, or not an easy, well, like a minimum wage job.
Corporate ladder, though.
Yeah, but
and that's
like,
that concept of like if I work my way up in a good enough business, if I do enough of the right things according to,
yeah.
you know, it's.
Well, here's the interesting thing to think about. Like, maybe 500 years ago, the average life expectancy was like 30.
Yeah.
So, like, we would be really fucking old men right now, 500 years ago. And then as time marched on, medicines and things like that got more advanced. And we started learning that we can live longer. And we learned in the process of living longer, we can accomplish more. And we can learn more. And we can understand more. And that's progressed all the way into modern times, where it's been a healthy climb right up until this shift happened, where now it's, whereas before we got more time, we understood more things, we discovered more, we challenged ourselves more. Now it's, well, let's just put all of our focus on getting more time, and then we'll challenge and understand and get more things out of life later after we resolve this issue. So we've kind of flip-flopped it.
Yeah.
I think is what started to happen. And on the subject of, like, just because we've been talking about it so much, like the corporate ladder, the climb, the way that you live your life, I literally was asking Matt this question. We talked a long time last night. But I asked Matt this question last night. It's like, at what point did everybody get on the train and decide that there was one good equation for how to live your life? There was one equation that worked for every single human being as far as achieving your dreams, arriving at some form of success and achieving some form of happiness in your life.
It's not an arrival. It's an end up. You end up there. You're not taught the important things. Here's what I want to get into, just to take it back.
Yeah.
The people that are tailgating and doing all that, I don't want to shit on that. That I really want to, like, I don't mean to downplay that. I need to elaborate on what I was going to say. So I apologize to those of you who really enjoy that and are in my feed, because that's not... I'm not trying to shit talk you, but here's what I'm trying to say is you haven't had that conversation with yourself yet. You haven't had the conversation of, well, what am I going to do? Why does this matter? Blah, blah, blah. Like, that's either that's your way of dealing with how much time we have, or you haven't had the conversation of what am I going to do? Or you haven't realized that I have this much amount of time. That's what that is to me. That's what that...
So here's what's really interesting about that. Perspective. Mm-hmm. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, tailgating to you seems like almost a waste of time because you have a clear vision, just for you personally.
Yeah.
Not to say for everybody, but you have a clear vision that you want to make movies, period.
Yeah.
Nothing is going to compromise that.
Yeah.
And so anything that's not pushing you in that direction just feels like... dog shit.
Yeah, pretty much.
No matter what it is.
Pretty much.
But it's interesting to think of, like, a tailgate is a gathering of people.
Yeah.
Sure, it's over a sports team, but it's a gathering.
Yeah.
So, like, the idea that a tailgate could be something that's on the level of, like, a missional community.
There's unity in that.
For some people. There's some form of community life that's happening
with
people. And don't get me wrong, I'm not, like... this is not the holy announcement that tailgating is everything and everybody needs to do it.
Yeah, no.
But I do think when you consider, like, the aspect of, like, what does it mean to live life, I think there are absolutely people who go to tailgates who are truly living in that moment.
Oh, I don't doubt that. Yeah. I don't doubt that for a minute, that there's people that thrive off of socializing with people. And I absolutely detest socializing because it's so surface level. Because it's so, yo, fuck this professor. Yeah, he sucks. Like, that's tough. It's hard. Or, like, yo, we're going to absolutely spank whatever college today. Who cares?
That's why you fit in really well here.
No one's talking about to be or not to be at a tailgate. And it's like, That's where I get frustrated.
Yeah.
That's why I get frustrated where with the norm, because people fall into the norm. Mm. The norm is you hate your life 5 days a week, you live for the weekends, you go out and you spend an assload of money on alcohol, and you do the same thing the next weekend.
Yep.
That's what tailgating, that's what that represents to me.
Yeah.
That's why I'm frustrated with it. There's people that clearly thrive off of socializing that are extroverts, that love that, and that are going to find their way through life through talking to people at tailgates. There is a place for everybody, and that is somebody's place.
Yeah.
That being said, I am frustrated by it because it is not, it is surface level.
Mm. There's no way in my mind I could ever rationalize that if my priority was to get to a tailgate or to root for a team or, like, if that was my priority, that my world, the world around me, and the world at large would ever be better, I imagine it has to get worse.
Mm.
I think that's where I see the issue with it, of going, if you want to go tailgate and have a great time, just make sure you're going home at the end of it and going, that was really awesome. These are the reasons I appreciated it. These are the reasons it mattered to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not the only thing I got going on. So when tomorrow comes and I'm not tailgating at work, when I notice Kelly is going through a hard time, I've noticed she's been going through a hard time the past month, I'm going to make it a point to go up and ask her how she's doing today.
Yeah.
Like, there has to be, it's the same way that, like, for you, movies are your priority.
Mm-hmm.
The reason they matter to you has such a layered reasoning to it,
yeah.
Right? But it's not the only thing you do. You're here.
Yeah.
I mean, you're here. Like, you connected with us on some level.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You agreed with a direction we were moving in, and you decided this also matters. Like,
yeah.
To what degree, that's not as relevant to, there's more than. Yeah. So for me, the frustration comes from absolutely what you said, that the weekend is what they live for.
Yeah. Mm.
And that's where you're not asking the right question
right.
to yourself, to the people around you, because, like, to be stuck in this life, in that loop, is my hell.
Yes. Yeah. That's 100% true. That is 100% true.
But people make it, and it's easy to see how, while you're in it, because I've been in that loop.
Mm-hmm.
And while you're in it, it's hard to imagine not being in it.
Yeah.
It's the same with any addiction. Like, you're so blinded to what is on the other side of everything that you're experiencing.
Yep.
That you can't fathom that it's better
moving
away from the comfortable things that you enjoy. And I think that's a big part of the conversation Nazi and I had last night, mm-hmm. was being comfortable.
Yep. Yeah.
And what does it mean? Like, why is it worth it to be uncomfortable?
That's, okay, yes.
That's a good question.
That's why I, oh my God, I've started so many sentences and my brain has just let go of what I was going to go to with. I literally had to piggyback directly off of that.
I think it goes back to what you were saying earlier with when have people had that conversation with themselves.
It's time management and balance. I suck at that. I am 1,000% tunnel vision. Like, I'm going to put everything towards this. And, like, so there's people that do balance that. There's people that balance, and it's hard for me to see something as, like, oh, you tailgate, that's all you do. It's hard for me to go, well, that's part of their time.
Right,
and that's the part that they have decided to share with me. I'm sure they're doing 8,000 other things.
Yeah,
but that's the part you share.
Dangerous social media, man.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I get angry at that, but it's just it is a microscopic look at someone else's life.
Mm-hmm.
But
some people are there though.
But some people are there.
That's the scary part.
That's the thing. Some people, that is the only thing they're doing. And it,
well, like Rihanna's song. Like, there's a reason it was popular for as long as it was. Like,
what was that
the
song?
Monday through Friday.
Oh,
get drunk on the weekend. Like, that song was popular.
Because it speaks to people, and it drives me crazy.
That's the scary part, is that something like that isn't immediately like, no, we don't want that.
We don't want that. Yeah, that's
get that out of here, because we see the purpose and the reason for living our lives. That's part of it, and we have fun when fun is available, and we enjoy it in the moment. We live in that moment, but that's not the reason we live. We don't want you telling us and promoting.
Yeah.
We don't want our kids, like, that's, to me, that's the thing that I'm looking at my kid like, hey, you're doing this, that, and that, and everyone would tell you it's wrong. No, just make sure you're not settling.
Yeah.
Make sure you don't think that's the reason for your life.
Yeah.
Like, challenge yourself every day to make sure that's not why you wake up every day.
No, that's good. And I think going back to that song, for a very long time...
I really want to think of the melody. Sorry.
Yeah. For a very long time, I think that's why I didn't like a lot of pop music, because it, like, I love poetry, and if you look at that song, and if that's what it's saying, you look at it, and it's just speaking to emptiness, and it's promoting people to go towards emptiness, which is, like, frustrating. It's like, no, because, I mean, I want people to pursue their passions. I want, you know, and it's like, how are we going to be so drawn to something like that? And it's just, I don't know, it blows my mind, and I don't know.
That, I 100% agree with that, and that's also, I'm going to relate it exactly to, it's why I hate pop music, or, like, detest pop music, and why I hate, like, garbage movies that don't have any effort in them. It's the same thing. When I hear a pop song like that, or I see a movie that's absolute, like, garbage, the only thing I can see is a bunch of people in suits in a boardroom going, all right, how is this going to make us money? Yes. That's the only thing those things come
100%.
From. When I hear those songs, it's 30 people in a room trying to think of catchy lyrics.
Catchy lyrics,
it's
and the
not
right
someone going,
rhythm and beat.
Yes,
and,
it's not someone going, okay, this means something to me.
Yeah.
This is blank. This is why I wrote this script. It has this message. It's 8,000 people trying to make something that's going to appeal to 8 million people.
Yes. And let me propose something very interesting.
Mm.
All right, here we go. I'm going to come up for a slogan
someone,
with these.
Somewhat.
Do you smoke after this?
No, I said we need to come up with a slogan for these.
we were on the same
page. Yeah.
Okay, someone in the world right now, undoubtedly, has devoted their life to making some type of alcohol.
Yes.
And that is their passion in life.
Mm-hmm.
And I can guarantee you that at least one person who has that passion because they know what that drink could bring someone at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
That not abused,
mm-hmm.
but appreciated for what it is
yes.
and the work that went into it.
Yeah.
That can be someone's moment where they're able to escape
yes.
and rest and recuperate so they can go back to what's important to them
yep.
at full strength.
Uh-huh.
So... it's crazy that you can talk about making beer being something that's super productive, mm-hmm. super incredible, and the right person pursuing that passion matters. And they should be doing it.
Mm-hmm. Like, exactly.
They should not be doing that.
Correct.
And the fact that they're not, if you're not, if you are passionate about going and making beer and it matters to you and it's going to make the world a better place, you better be damn sure you better be working your ass off to go make the best beer that has ever touched the lips of any human.
Big facts. Yeah.
The same way we should all be chasing our passions.
Yes.
Because if we are living in a world where we are both living our passions and encouraging other people to live their passions, we are living in the most interesting, vitalized world I could ever imagine.
Okay, and to, yes, the passions are important because, okay, the reason I want to make movies is to communicate ideas.
Yeah.
That's what it is. I love telling great stories. I love sitting down and talking to people. I love people. And it doesn't sound like that from what I talk about in this podcast, but I love people.
Yes.
And that's why it frustrates me, and that's why I want to make movies. Because I want to communicate to people, and I care about people, and I want people to learn things from the movies that I make.
Yeah.
And that's why it frustrates me when people don't follow their passions.
Mm. Well, sometimes people don't even realize it because they just... like, it's so easy to get in the motions, and so
yes. It's,
once you, surviving is like the basic instinct of any creature.
Well, no one has had to think about survival in years.
Well, here's...
no, that's not true. That is not true. That is not true at all. There's people living paycheck to paycheck who don't have an opportunity.
No, that's, that, okay, wait,
survival,
meaning, okay.
There's a lot of people like that. Go ahead.
I gotta jump in because... if this is not the most perfect moment that will ever present itself for us to say, this is why we're here, this is why we're here.
Yeah.
Because it's hard, and just like talking about it just a second ago, you get blinded, you get mm-hmm. caught up in the motions, and it doesn't make sense to leave comfort.
Yeah.
No,
but it all it takes is one person speaking up and going, hey, there's more, to help even be just that one hand that comes in that
yes.
dark circle to go, hey, you just got to step outside the dark circle. You'll see there's a lot more.
Yeah.
And so, like, if one person hears this and goes, I don't think about that enough. Mm-hmm. I'm going to start thinking about that 10 minutes a day. And that changes the direction of their life, and they end up being that person making that beer. And it, like,
we want free beer for life, by the way.
We do. We absolutely require drink, so free beer.
I just hope you're passionate.
You need to make a non-alcoholic beer that tastes as good as the alcoholic beer, so that Corey and the rest of Up and Out Studios can enjoy it.
Mm. Yeah. Is that how that works?
It, absolutely, 100%.
You but owe it to us. We changed your life
for sure.
Because that's how kindness works, by the way.
Yes. So, you have to pay it back. The thing is, though, it's a debt. It's not just a debt.
We've officially called back to, I think, every podcast we've put out, by the way.
Probably.
But,
yeah, we have.
Is that the sign of growth? I hope so.
It's interesting to think, too, to like, it's how hard is it for people to find their passion now?
It's
going back to what I was talking about before, where the world has collectively decided an equation for you to live your best life.
It's tough and it's not. It's tough, but it shouldn't be.
It shouldn't be.
That's what it is. Right. Is that, okay, it's the same. Here we go, calling back to education, which I wasn't even in, but we're going to call back to it.
Sweet.
Education, or it's the system thing that you're talking about, where it's like there's an equation where that's how you live your life. It's the same thing with education. This is how you learn. It's definitely not how I learned. And I sucked in school at getting good grades, and it was garbage. But there's a lot I learned from it. It's just like they decided, hey, this is how you're supposed to learn. Hey, that's not how I learn. But I'm going to do it anyways, because I have to.
Because I have to.
And then there's either you break the mold, or you stick with it. And that's the difference between someone that has a passion and someone who is going through the motions, who's good at... This also ties back into how I started this, which is I'm glad I was taught that you're supposed to break the mold. I'm glad I was taught that you are not supposed to, that it's not a bad thing that I'm failing classes, that it's not a bad thing that I'm doing garbage at high school. Because it was clear where my intentions were.
Yeah.
I had a film and TV class in high school that I took all 4 years. And I had Spanish at one point. And I had a 60%. I was 0.01 away from failing that class. And at the same exact time, I had 140% overall grade in my film and TV class. It's clear where my direction was. Yeah. It's clear what I wanted to do. But the system is, you take a language, you got to do math, you got to do science, you got to do English, you got to do social study. It's... garbage. It's garbage. And kids, that's okay. Let's break it down to what is it? They're doing STEM now. Mm-hmm. Science, technology. What is it? Science, technology,
English and math.
Science, technology, English, and math. That's four things you're focusing on for every kid to go into.
Yeah.
Now, those are broad topics. There's branches of each, but that's crazy. What the fuck happened to STEAM? STEAM at least had arts in there. Like
it sounds better too.
Yeah,
it does sound now it's so much better.
But it's crazy to me that everyone has to fall into one of those things.
Yeah,
and your existence falls into four letters.
Well, here's
that's what that essentially
here's
says.
What's super interesting though. It's interesting to think of experiences outside of the U.S. though, because like most, if not all, countries in Europe, if you were like, I want to go to the U.S. and learn how to basket weave because I'm passionate about it.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, dope, here's a check, here's a flight, go chase your dream. Sweden or Switzerland, here's a stipend every month for you to never have to worry about anything else while you chase your dream. Like, there's so many places out there that are, like, making the steps towards, like, we're setting you up to chase the thing you're passionate for. And for those people, I'm just like, you don't really have an excuse, buddy. Like, just, like, if you walked up to me and just like, you know, I just don't want to, it's like, you're lazy.
Yeah.
If any of us in this room had just a ride like that, holy shit.
Yeah.
So there's a callback here, and It's funny because I immediately think of Shively because he'd be the person to pinpoint the callback. Like, I'm not going to pinpoint the callback because I'm not that intelligent.
Officially, every podcast, Shively.
Yes.
Officially.
I really hope he's listening. But there's a callback here to the greatest minds that have lived in life. Mm. And this is, I'm going to try and put this into words, and I don't know how well I'll do. But the fear that I am almost certain exists within people of power, that more people would be living passionately and not be concerned so much with their safety, but with the mark they would leave, is a lot harder to control. And it's a lot harder to keep things consistent.
Yeah. Like, where's your workforce go?
Right. And so if, you know, I think the what if everyone was chasing their passions, well, who's going to take out the garbage? Like, there might be one or a couple people that are passionate about garbage, but I don't imagine it's a ton. Mm. Where are the people that are going to be, you know, the plumbers, the fast food workers? Like, if we are moving towards a society where everyone is choosing to pursue their passions over settling for just getting by, then I think the possible destruction of society as we know it, I think, wants to be more controlled by the people who are trying to control it. And I'm not even saying that's negative or positive. I'm not bashing them, because I imagine there's someone out there who's going, hey, I just want to make sure we're okay. Like the engine continues to run and we're moving down the line. Even if it's slower than it would be if that exploded, we're still moving. And then you also, I imagine there's the people that are like, well, I just want to be in power. Mm. You know, I just want the control. And there's two sides to every coin always. But I think there's this fear of what if we actually accomplished what we're talking about. And everyone that we know said, I'm not just going to settle for that 9-to-5.
Yeah.
I might use that as a means.
Yeah. Yep.
But I'm going to go pursue, and now you have an influx of artistic people who are saying, well, I just want to be in the arts, and that's all I want to be in. It's interesting, because what are those people doing now? You know, they're just dying slowly.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, there's the, I really like that. That was articulated very well, and I really appreciate that. And there's a saying, I guess, where it's like the number one way to hate your passion is to make it your career, or right. to make it your job.
Yeah.
And it's like, there's definitely going to be the people that still have to work 9-to-5, but if you're working on your passion in your free time, that's what matters.
Yeah.
Like, there's, not everything is going to get you paid, but like if you're going to do it and you're passionate about it, just do it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Someone's got to do every job. And some people, there's fallback careers, there's jobs that need to be done that a lot of people don't want to do, and that sucks. However, if that's all you're doing, if all you're doing in your life is your fallback, that can't be happy. That can't be comfortable. You got to be.
Yes. I'm going to plug a book here.
Okay.
Sweet.
And it's a book that I read while I was at Chick-fil-A. I was in management, and I saw this just overwhelming need to encourage, support, and build up my team. Mm-hmm. I said, you know, yes, bringing in customers matter, or it matters, because the store needs to make money. Mm-hmm. The store doesn't make money. We can't pay people. Obviously, there's a fault in that system that if you just focus on helping the team be better people, then the rest doesn't happen. So it's a both and, right? But there was such a gap, an absence of focus on building up the people that are at a Chick-fil-A. And most of them were high schoolers. Most of the people that I worked with were high schoolers. So wanting to have these types of conversations with them. Hey, what are you expecting after this? Where are you headed? Where are you going? What? How does that matter? You know, and does it matter? If it doesn't, why doesn't it matter? You know, mm-hmm. asking these really thought-provoking questions. And someone along the way, a great woman, I'll shout you out, Chelsea. She helped me to by giving me this book. It's called The Dream Manager. And it's this idea that one of the craziest ideas in the world to me is that I am a ridiculous dreamer. My dreams are like, I'm going to go save the world. And I will devote every second of my life to trying to save the world. Mm-hmm. Some people's dreams are to just take their kids on a cruise. Mm-hmm. And they don't feel like they can. So the entire book is modeled around this janitorial company who is seeing horrible turnover rates. People come in, and within months, they're gone because they don't want to do this with their life. This is all they're doing. They're barely surviving. They don't want that. So they bring in someone who says, my entire job description is to sit down with the staff, every single one of them, ask them what their dreams are, and help them plot a course to get there. Mm-hmm. And again, some of the examples where I just want a car. Like, I just want my own car. I don't want to have to, I want to be able to drive my kids to school, and I want to be able to drive to work, and I would be so happy because I'm so tired of the bus being late or so on and so forth or whatever it is. Like, and this concept of, if that was, again, something that was more prevalent in our society, that we said, hey, everyone's got to work some one of the jobs. Like, we got to, this engine is built the way that it is, and it requires a certain thing to keep running the way that it's going. Otherwise, we just got to change the whole system.
Yeah.
So while this system is going the way that it is, let's add in this component that says it's a both and.
Yeah.
You work this job not because it's what matters in life. You work this job because it helps you provide, it helps you survive, it helps keep the system running the way that it's running. But at the same time, there are passions in you that if you have just a little bit of help, are attainable.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's a book that I read in college as well that's a little bit similar to that. And it's this guy who... He becomes the captain of this ship in the Navy, and he takes over the worst ship, like by their numbers or standards or whatever it was. And one of the things that, and eventually he becomes legitimately the best ship. Like, he gets chosen for all the missions, and which is another conversation in the book. But anyways, he would sit down with, I'm pretty sure it was every member of the ship, and he would go, well, you're in the Navy, some of these people are 18, some of these people are in their 20s, whatever age, and it's like, well, what do you want to do with your life? Like, if you want to be in the Navy for the rest of your life, that's great, but like, and he was encouraging people to pursue their dreams, whatever it is they wanted to do, and one of the things I want to highlight about the book is because it showed actual value in the resources that are humans. Mm. And so he just legitimately turned the ship around. And there's more that I could go into about it, but I just wanted to highlight it briefly. But yeah, I don't know. It's a cool book. It's a cool concept. It's a very human concept, which is why it's so attractive. And yeah.
It gets into the ability to appreciate everyone's differences.
Mm-hmm.
Because for me, there's that gut reaction to someone dreaming so small, or in my head, what is so small, that I want to be like, no, dream bigger.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't have to. They don't need to. And even, again, like, I'm not the first one to think of beer being someone's passion and it being something that matters. It just so happened this conversation helped me to realize, oh, yeah, that really matters too. But being able to appreciate everyone's differences and going, hey, with my skills that I have, I can help you. But without you, I'm not able to help you.
Yeah.
Like, without you doing what you do, I'm not able to continue to do what mm-hmm. I do. And you matter just as much as I do. It's not that something that gets more acclaim or notice matters more. It's you, like, you wouldn't be able to do that if people weren't out farming.
Yeah.
making food available to you, like you would, your life would be going out and getting your own food.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That speaks to just the toxicity of comparison, mm-hmm. because that's what that arrives from. Like even in the most positive of views, like even having the desire for somebody to dream bigger, is still kind of a toxic comparison, mm-hmm. because we get it in our brains. Back to what I was saying earlier, that there's this specific model. Even though that's like a really, that's a nice one to have, to want everybody to have this big, huge dream that they go for. It's not the reality of how we live our lives. Everybody has a thing, big, small, and big and small aren't even proper words for it, proper descriptions. Everybody just has their own thing. Unique. Everybody has something that's uniquely theirs to love, to be passionate about, to chase. And moving into a headspace where you just begin to honor that, I think is a lot of self-help. It's exhausting, mm-hmm. to try and make everybody dream big. That's a huge task. It's just not... It's almost a wasted effort.
It's a wasted effort because it's not productive.
No.
Because not everyone wants to dream big.
No.
Mm-hmm. Like, you're, Albert's quote, if you try and judge a fish's ability to climb a tree, everyone will be an idiot. What is it? Yeah. It's something to that
you
effect.
You can't just say Albert.
I was going to say.
Yeah, man, we're on a personal level. It's fine.
That was so funny. I knew where he was going, but I was like, that's actually really funny.
Yeah, what's his nickname?
Yeah,
just dude, Al. Me and Al.
Have you never seen that movie with Meg Ryan about Albert Einstein? It's an old corny love movie. It's phenomenal, by the way.
Oh.
At least it was when I was like 10. So, you know, anyway. No, it's
the fish and the tree and the...
I know. But there's something that you said that just screams out something that I thought that now I'm having what Corey had, and it's just gone. And I'm sad about it.
Well, what I'm sad about is wasted potential. Yeah. That's what I see when I see people going out and getting wasted every weekend.
Yeah.
Is wasted potential.
So, but here's the real question. What potential is it that you see? Because here's the other harsh reality about mm-hmm. that, right? We can say wasted potential, but if I don't know the person, like, truly one-on-one, I don't really understand their potential.
Right.
Right.
Okay, here's what I'm saying. Not personality-wise, but looking at people. People are capable of so much more than consuming alcohol. That's mm-hmm. wasted potential that I see, is you have so much more to offer.
Yeah.
Then
it's hard to
out.
Disagree with that. Yeah,
that's a very fair point.
Yeah,
but and just the point that I'm arriving at is just, it's, I want to be more reticent. I don't want to so readily say that something is wasted with somebody that I don't know, that I don't have a personal connection with, because even if that is a truth, we have no place in saying it because we're not putting anything into their lives.
Right.
So it's like, to those people who are...
No, but if this changes something, if someone goes, you know what, I'm tired.
And that's where I speak to, yes, those people, if they're ready to hear it, but also the people who know those people.
Yeah.
The people who see that. The people who feel the same things that we do and have people that are close to them that they can actually speak life into.
Yeah.
Where it's like, hey, you know this person on a personal level. You understand something about them. You've seen enough, you've spent enough time to know that there's something else inside of them besides just living for the weekend. That you have the capability to speak to.
Yes.
And so it's like, I much prefer to encourage that.
Mm-hmm. I would just say, if you're here with us, if you're listening in, this will be probably episode 11, 12.
12. Yeah, 12.
Then, if you've listened one this far into this episode, and you've listened to multiple of our episodes, please understand that we, the four of us here, need to be challenged just as much on this as everyone else should be challenged on this.
Yep.
Is that all these conversations aim to do is to start other conversations. Like, that is the beginning of change. Yes, action has to be put into those conversations. But if the conversations aren't being had to begin with, like, if you are watching someone you know waste their potential and you know them, mm-hmm. it could take one purposeful statement to completely alter the course of their life, that they would have a better life, that they could then go do that for someone else.
Yeah.
Like, when people's lives are changed, they tend to speak up about it.
Mm-hmm.
For good or bad. Yeah. So keep in mind, when you're going and having that purposeful statement, if you cause them to go down a dark path, you have now caused a potential chain reaction of dark paths. Like, your actions matter every day with every encounter you have. And for the people that you know more intimately, they matter immensely more.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the idea that I could go up to someone working a fast food job who's having a shit day because they feel like they're having a shit life, and I could say something as simple as, you look really nice today. I really like what you did with your hair. That could make their day better enough for them to have a better outlook on that day, for them to potentially have a thought of, like, I want more of that in my life. Like, mm-hmm. the fact that something so insignificantly small, or seeming so, could change someone's directory, you better believe that the people that you're close to, you have an immense amount of sway in their life. And you really need to pick your words and your actions carefully around them, because if they don't matter to you, I mean, I don't know why you're here. I don't know why you're listening to us right now.
This is like the really wrong podcast to come to. But
it's like that scene from Good Will Hunting. It's when Will and, I forget, with his, I know it's Ben Affleck, I don't remember his character.
Oh, sorry, I thought you called Robin Williams Will, and I was like, you're taking a little far now, man.
Oh, no.
At least we knew Albert. I was like, Will? That's like half of his last name. Sorry. Anyway, keep going. I'm sorry.
No. Sorry. Matt Damon Ben Affleck are talking. And they're on the work site. And somehow they bring up, like, we're going to do this forever. Yeah. And Ben Affleck's like, well, you're not. And he's like, well, why not? Well, if that's what I want to do. And he's like, listen, man, we're going to work this job for the rest of our fucking lives. That's it. This is what we're going to do. You have the golden ticket out of here. If you don't take that, I'm going to kick your ass. And that's not a threat. That's a promise.
No. Yep. No.
It's like, if you have that potential, don't waste it. If you can do something, do it. And this podcast was supposed to be about, or well, I guess slightly about.
It still is.
It is.
It is.
It's just not. It's just about, like, not wasting it.
Yeah.
And the point is, it is your life. Do with what you know. Do what you want with it.
It drives the point. What you just said really drives the point home of, for me, what it means to live. Like, to live is really simple. It's to do. It's to take actions. That is living. That is why comfortability, when we talk about comfortability, it's so dangerous, because you don't act when you're comfortable. Mm-hmm. Like, what is that theologian's name?
See, that's why I said I'm not smart enough. I need to get smarter, guys.
I'm trying to think of the theologian's name.
Sounds so much more poignant when you're like, well, Aristotle, Socrates did say very casually.
Oh, why can't I really want to remember his name? Okay, it'll come to me eventually, but he just put it really simply, and he was talking about shellfish, can't remember their names. What's the name? I can't do any names today. Hermit crabs.
I was like, shrimp.
There it is.
Oysters.
So I was like, it's some form of a shellfish. But he's talking about hermit crabs, and he was relating it back to faith, like how we get comfortable in relationship with God. But he was saying, like, a hermit crab has to feel uncomfortable in order to know that it needs to move into a bigger shell. Mm-hmm. If the hermit crab always felt comfortable, it would die mm-hmm. in the first shell it ever went in. It has to have that level of uncomfortability in order to achieve growth. We have to maintain consistently being uncomfortable in order to march towards something better.
Yeah.
You're going to start a real, real hole that I don't know you want to go down, man.
Look, I'm okay with going down. We're here.
To be or not to be, part of being is suffering.
Yep. And funny enough, as I was journaling, because, you know, journaling is just really great for you.
Yes.
But.
Plug. Shameless.
Serious plug. Shameless plug. Like, seriously, guys, journal. It's so good. But I was writing, and I thought back to something my dad told me. There's a lot of things my dad told me. She'd probably meet this guy. Mm-hmm. He's pretty great. Yep. He's like, you know what the best teacher is in life? Experience. Nothing on the planet will ever teach you the way experience will teach you things. Mm-hmm. And it got me thinking of, like, I've done, and I talk with Matt about this, I've done a lot of fighting in my life to be where I am now. I've had to combat and overcome a lot of things. And I had this moment where I'm writing where it's like, I've felt pain, I've felt loss, I've felt like dog shit before, and it's like, I've felt all those things, but all those things were experiences and teachers. To think of it in such a way, like, I felt pain, and it helped me to understand kindness. I felt loss, and it helped me to understand how to appreciate the things that are there. Like, there's just this dual function of the things you go through. So even the conversation of suffering, I still will never say that it's necessary, ever. But I will 100% agree that it's part of life.
A
teacher. Yeah. It is that experiential teacher.
There's value in it.
Yeah, in a way that nothing else can be. It is so eye-opening. And so, yeah, man, like, to live, to be or not to be, to do, to take action, to just do something outside of just existing. Because it's boring. Like, let's be honest, that's so fucking boring.
It is.
What do you get out of that?
I can't imagine existing without being drunk. Like, exactly. If my goal was to just exist, like, why would I ever exist not being high off my ass? Because movies are better, video games are better, food tastes better, I've been told sex is better. Why would I not just be high every day?
Yeah.
If my one goal is to exist. If you bring it all the way back.
Yeah.
To be or not to be. And we started off the conversation with life and death. And death, the ways that death directs us. Mm-hmm. Here's my trademark at least one hypothetical situation.
Here we go. Let's do it.
If the world started with immortality, and every person that was born was immortal, it's hard for me to believe that people would be driven to accomplish much else other than existing. Now, if we attained it at some point along the way, I think there would be this concept of losing it and going, well, but if we just start out with knowing nothing ever stops here. Like, we all just are here. Like, we just get to be here.
Yeah.
And that's how it is. I think for sure there would be advancements along the way. The pace would be astronomically slower. It would have to be.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not worried about getting it done in any sort of amount of time. You just get to get there. When you get there, you get there.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't see people driven to excel at the rate that they're excelling. Like, because that pressure is put on, you now have the ability to conceptualize, I only have a certain amount of time, I gotta make it count.
Yeah.
Instead, you're just going, I've got time. I don't even care about the idea of time. I just am.
Yeah.
It is not to be or not to be. It is just to be.
You just are.
There is no alternative. There is no other side to the coin. At that point, the question of morality is really the only thing I imagine you really wrestle with. Like,
I'd actually, at the beginning of that, you said, imagine if we had immortality, like, from the beginning of the earth. And I'm pretty sure we probably thought we did, and then the first guy died, and they were like, what the fuck? They were like, hold on a second.
Wait.
I thought we were all on the same page.
I mean, we were all getting bigger.
I thought
we were just going to keep
his
growing.
His hair was changing color. That was awesome. It was going white. And then he just stopped. So, I don't know who's next. I don't know what happened. But some shit's going down. And I suspect foul play.
It's crazy.
It's crazy to think, like, how unnatural an idea of immortality is.
Yeah.
Everything. Absolutely everything that exists has a beginning.
And an end.
And an end.
Yes.
Absolutely everything. Like, our sun. Granted, it's got a lot longer lifespan than we do. But, like, 6 billion years from now, that bitch is going to blow up. Mm-hmm. And that's it. That's the end of it. So it's, like, I don't know where we get this concept of, like, immortality, but it's strange to
me. Well, it's interesting because immortality is a standout trait. There's not a lot of things, if anything, that are immortal. And there's not a lot of things, if anything else, that have a consciousness other than us.
Mm.
So we strive for keeping that. Because other animals aren't going, well, I hope I have a long life, I hope I live well, and I hope I treat all the animals around me well. They're like, survival instinct. That's their brain.
That's food, that's not food.
Yeah.
That's food, that's what thinks food. I'm food.
Yes, exactly, that's it. So, that's where that, I'm sure, comes from, because we're like, yeah, I want to maintain consciousness, because I can think about dying. I can imagine what it's going to be like when I die.
Yeah. Mm. Man, I just...
This is my favorite. Okay. This is my favorite podcast, by the way.
Here's the thing.
Hands down, my favorite episode.
Here's the thing, too. Is getting wasted every weekend the equivalent, hating your life 5 days a week and then getting wasted on the weekends?
Right.
The equivalent of the animal's survival brain. Is that the same thing? Because right now that's what they're doing to get by.
I have to do this.
And I also have to do this.
I feel less of it's, and I have to. Because the important part of the statement that you make is 5 days a week they hate their lives.
Yes.
And then the weekend they get drunk.
Yes.
So it's...
Some people go the extra mile and do it when they get home.
Yes. Yep. I am running...
There's our A-plus
kids. On Saturday or on Friday night, like... I am hauling ass to the bar to run away from that 5 days of fucking terrible.
Yeah.
That's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
If I hate my life 5 days out of the week, the reason I am hauling ass to the bar is that I know with each sip of alcohol, I feel a little less shitty about what's going on in my life.
Facts, yeah.
So it's, man, it's a pacifier. Humans never get away from pacifiers. Mm-hmm. They just change shape.
we all have pacifiers
in some way, shape, or form.
I think that's Jim Gaffigan bit, where he goes, we all have our own McDonald's. Mine is McDonald's. Some people like to drink.
Yep.
Some people like to smoke.
Yep.
Some people like to cheat on their significant other. Everyone has a McDonald's. Or I don't think he called it McDonald's. He called it like, maybe it was.
I just hope it's Hot Pocket.
No, it's not Hot Pocket. I think it's like... he was talking about, like, some magazine or some garbage. I don't know. It was a great bit, but he's like, everyone has their thing.
That guilty thing. Or that thing, that pleasure that makes them comfortable.
Yeah. Mine's definitely fast food. 100%. I spent an ass load of money on fast food. It's bad. But, gotta eat.
Hard question. Are pacifiers positive things for babies if we just grow into creating new ones when we become adults?
Well, why not start them young if we're just going to have them anyways?
That's why King Leonidas was so boss in the movie 300, guys. He was just thrown to fight a wolf. Duh. That's clearly where we're missing out.
Oh, man. Yeah, fight wolves.
Right, well, I was going to say, that's what we have to do.
Fight each other and fight wolves. And if you survive the wolf at a young age, you're worthy of living.
Hold on, man. New title for the podcast. Fight wolves and fuck pacifiers, man. That's what it means to live.
Almost as catchy as Across the Table. Nearly there.
But yeah, man, I'm with you here. I'm really excited that we we talked about this.
Yeah.
This is a great one.
This is we got really
15 whole minutes
more. Yeah, I was actually just going to say, any closing directions, any closing statements, like, because if we get on a direction, we could go for that. We always tend to go for a while, so.
You definitely can. I just can't encourage enough to ask yourselves, mm-hmm. like, the most important question you'll ever ask yourself, which is, who am I? Period. Mm-hmm. And when I ask that question, I'm not talking about your titles. I'm not talking about your background. I'm not talking about your affiliation. Who are you at your core being? And that's not going to be a question that I think you can answer tomorrow.
I'm glad you.
It's not something you can answer tomorrow. It might not be something that you answer in the next 5 years, but it's a question that is the most important thing you could ever ask yourself.
It's probably not even a question that you can answer by yourself.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, exactly. It's it's very much the same as the World Peace mm-hmm. podcast, where it's like, you might not know where it is, but work towards it. Like, you don't know what the answer is, but work towards figuring it out. Yeah. You got to go, who am I? What do I want?
I feel like most people can come up with a base.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't. I have no fucking idea who I am.
Yeah, I mean, this is what most people. Cheers. This is why I cover my bases.
Welcome to your early 20s.
Yeah, Sarah. Exactly.
But I mean, even then, you know, like, you build relationships. Like, going back to the cost of kindness and Anthony's definition of what kindness is, being selfish, like being a tool for human survival. Like, in that regard, build relationships with people so that you can see yourself more clearly.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's, again, the same way it's easy to be blinded by the comfortability of living a certain way, it will forever be easy to be blinded to your own self. There's too many things to try and process and go through and figure out and work through, and especially if you're working a 9-to-5, just to get to the weekends, like,
mm-hmm.
it's hard to be able to pull yourself out of that to be introspective. So when you're making relationships with people, be intentional about what those relationships are, who they're with, what they bring to the table, and be mindful of asking those questions. Hey, man, who do you think I am? Like, when you look at me, what do you see? You'll be surprised to find a lot of things that you would never come up with yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, because you are your hardest critic.
Yeah.
Which is something that I've learned, but I also appreciate.
Sure.
Where it's like, yeah, you're your hardest critic. Take it easy on yourself. But it's like, yeah, I'm my hardest critic. So it's like, fucking keep on it, dude. You're a piece of garbage. Like, keep going. Keep working. Keep going.
It's the idea, if I am the worst of what can come of any form of critique.
Yeah.
How can I ever be scared of something else that somebody else has to say?
Right.
Like,
but it's like the exact opposite. It's true, but it's not.
Right.
Because it's like, yeah, you're a piece of garbage. Keep working harder. It's like, yeah, I need to work harder. And someone else could be like, yo, that was like slightly garbage. I was like, eh, it was okay. Then it's like, fuck, I hate everything. I'm a waste of space.
And that goes into like what Matt and I discussed yesterday. Because like, I've been talking about all this stuff. I've been journaling all this stuff. But man, like, I am the first and most guilty of not asking myself that question on a consistent basis. Mm-hmm. It is crazy, because we were talking about like how we give advice, right? And there's always this moment that you have in the process of giving really good advice. You experience two moments.
Mm-hmm.
The first moment is like ethereal level wisdom. Like, you are just guru, I don't know, somebody.
Dalai Lama.
The Dalai Lama. Like, you've ascended to that point. And then there's this really small voice at the end of giving that advice. It's just like, you know, you should probably do that for yourself.
Yeah.
And you go, well fuck. It's like,
small tangent.
Yeah.
The Dalai Lama has a Twitter account, which I think is the funniest thing in the world.
That's amazing.
He tweets.
That's
amazing. Dalai Lama tweets. Those two greatest
things. That's iconic.
If you don't get anything else from this podcast,
Dalai Lama,
follow. It is the funniest thing in the world.
Dalai Lama. What is his?
That's like Gandhi having.
What's his handle? Yeah. Is it at Enlightenment?
It's lit. Oh, you know what? Let's look it up. Let's look it up right now.
Oh, bro! If it was just lit, that would be amazing.
I spelled Dalai Lama. I know it starts with a D.
It's like D A H L E I.
Okay, I didn't know
like
if it was D H A.
I'm gonna get if. Now I just don't want people to listen to this podcast. You're gonna be like,
so bad.
guys are fucking.
You boss. Don't know who the Dalai Lama is? You don't know how to spell his name?
All right. Well, I don't have service in this basement, so he's got a Twitter.
Yeah, him up. Yeah. Reach out to us, and we can hook you up with that Twitter.
Yeah, exactly.
There you
his
go.
Name because is, to, his name is spelled D-A-L-A-I, and then Lama L-A-M-A. And let's see.
Look up his
Twitter. Dang, there's no H in there.
There's not. I know. I'm an idiot.
When you said D-A-H-L, I was like, isn't that a shipping company?
Doll. That's a Borderlands company.
Oh, that's what it is.
All right.
Doll Corporation.
Oh, it's at Dalai Lama. Okay.
Yep, great. Keep it simple.
Glad no one else took that.
As he should.
It's so
who
funny.
The hell would take that?
Well, there's someone that has God.
Yeah.
And if he ever wants at to me. Make a Twitter, he's fucked.
At me.
He's God one.
He's God one.
I just imagine the best image you've got on a computer. This username is already taken.
Who the fuck? Yeah.
Fuck.
Oh, that's a funny, like, really old newspaper comic.
It is.
No, it's God making it, and then the second panel is Satan who has it. And it's just at God. It's that.
That's actual pure gold.
That is really good. Oh man!
So for those of you who've made it this far, you're welcome. If you make it first, we won't fault you.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't do that, man.
At least credit us.
At least credit us. The same way we get free beer for life.
Yeah, so facts.
We're just racking them up. Like,
what were we just talking about? We tangented because you talked about the Dalai Lama quote, right?
You finished it. You finished it out.
Yeah. I know, but I need to get.
Yeah, make sure you take your own
taking
advice.
Taking your own advice.
Oh, yes.
How I fell miserably at that. But yeah, man, it's definitely just getting back into what I was saying. Doing all this journaling, wanting to talk about this is semi-selfish. Like, I want to talk about this for other people to talk about it, but I also just wanted to talk about it with the four of us too. Where it's like, I think this is a conversation the four of us should have frequently. Or something that we should think about consistently. That should kind of be on the forefront of, like, how are we living our lives? Like, how are we making it count? How are we making our mark through Up and Out Studios and just through relationship with each other?
So, we'll see if this closes us out or not. We'll see. There's this really interesting battle in my head of what it means to close out our podcast, to talk about asking for subscribers or likes or to follow us, to share us. So at the risk of sounding very corny or forced, I believe this is too important to not do. We genuinely try our best to love you, whoever you are, whoever is listening. And the reason why Up and Out Studios was created, the reason why this podcast exists, is that if you would listen, it would help. And it really matters to us. It's not something that I want to try and say to get a like. As much as I want us to get likes so that we can continue to do this for more people, I would rather not get the like if it meant that, again, whoever you are, you feel like this helped you in any sort of way. I told Najee last night that and it was more to make a point because it's not true, but it definitely makes you perk up and listen. I asked him the question, do you know how fucking stupid Mr. Rogers is? And it's exactly that reaction, Jacob's face, that it gets a rise out of people that I want. I say it because he devoted his entire life to something that seemed as trivial as a kid's show at the time. And our entire generation looks at him like a hero, because to us he is. Like, it matters.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't believe that at the time he was making it felt like he was hitting wall after wall And I'm sure people told him, like, this is not the way you're supposed to do this. This is not the way this works. You need to look out for yourself. You need to make sure. And, like, I want to be a fucking idiot. Yeah. I want to be the biggest fucking idiot in the world, if that's what it takes to convince as many people as I can that it matters to care about other people and that we are trying our best here to do it.
Yeah, I think I like the getting a reaction out of it, but I would call it, like, a blind passion. Yeah. Mm. He didn't give a shit. He wasn't stupid.
Yeah.
But he didn't give a shit about, like, he knew he was going to make a difference. He was like, there's nothing negative that can come out of me being this positive.
Mm.
And going, I'm going to teach kids what it means to be a person. Yeah. What it means to be a nice person. What it means to be a person of value.
What it means to be a good neighbor.
Yeah. Always welcome in his neighborhood.
Yeah.
So,
you know, there's the story that I heard or read ages ago. I don't know how true it is. I don't fact check. But I've seen it resurface a couple times, and it's like, I always like it every time I hear it. But there's a story about Mr. Rogers' car getting stolen. Like, he went to his car, and it was stolen, and there's a, like, you know, it's on the news, police report, you know, all that stuff. Like, Mr. Rogers' car is stolen. And then I think within, like, 24 hours, it was returned. And it was returned with a note and said, if we knew it was your car, we wouldn't have taken it in the first place. And it's like, I hope that's true.
Mm.
I hope that's true, because that's the kind of reach that he had.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Mr. Rogers is literally, outside of Bob Ross, is like my last beach of innocence from my childhood. Everything else has been shat on so hard.
Yeah.
And the worst things have come out. But Mr. Rogers is like my hope for the world.
Yep.
They are making a movie about him, finally, by the way. I don't know if you guys
saw it. They made two.
Yeah.
There's the one where Tom Hanks plays him. Mm-hmm. And then there's, like, Won't You Be My Neighbor, which is a documentary that came out already.
But it's like, man, if I could live my life an eighth of the way that Mr. Rogers lived his, things would be pretty fucking good.
Yeah. So, when we ask you, again, you who are listening, to share, to like, to comment, to subscribe, to interact with us, to allow us to get to know you, we really mean it.
Yeah.
And I'm sure, I know anyone could say it. So we want to continue to try and prove it that we mean it. But we do mean it.
Yeah.
And it is what matters most for Up and Out Studios. We were founded on that one idea. At the heartbeat of who we are, we want to inspire other people, help other people, love other people, and that will always be what is at the heart of who we are. And these conversations exist with pure hope that they cause any of that for anyone.
Yeah.
Again, at the risk of sounding like an idiot or cheesy.
But, like, for reals, though, we do really, like, want to talk to you guys. Be dope. It'd be chill. Like, how do you not want to be a part of this conversation? Like, I know this sounds really cocky coming from us, but this is dope. This is really dope.
Yeah, this is a fun conversation.
This is the most fun I've had doing a podcast in a while.
It's so cool to sit down and just talk about real shit. It's great. It's crazy. It's so hard for me to just, I want to see 2 hours, and then I'll be satisfied.
kill time sort of, for 1 minute and 25 seconds.
But not really, because we started like eight minutes in. Yeah.
So we really got like 10 minutes.
We got time.
We got time, guys.
Yo, I'm trying to give the listeners everything that they're looking for, because I hate when a podcast ends early. They're like, hey guys, we're almost at the 2 hour mark, and we're ending it. No!
See, now what I want to do
is
take that 5 seconds of you just talking, and I would have put it at the very end of our podcast.
Every podcast,
You're like, I hate when people just cut.
It just cut. Yeah, exactly. That's it.
It's fantastic.
It's beautiful. The most beautiful ending we could ever have.
That is also our heartbeat.
Yes. We like to laugh and have fun.
Yeah, that's true.
We really do. It's like...
Everything's a joke. Everything is a joke. That's why everything's funny.
Everything.
Because I amazing. Literally cannot... Okay, I realized this when I was driving the other day. I don't know if I've laughed at something that was scripted in a long time. Mm. Everything that's funny now is super situational.
Yep.
It's when I'm around people and someone makes a joke about something that's happening right then. Or if I say a joke about something that's happening, like... That's what's funny to me. I know there's like a handful of movies that I can rewatch that are like really just stupid funny.
I don't know the last time a movie made me laugh.
Have you watched? Okay, see exactly. I can name one movie actually. Have you watched The Nice Guys?
Yeah,
it did make me
laugh. That movie is so funny. That movie is insanely funny. Yeah, Ryan Gosling and Russell Crowe in that killed it.
Yeah,
that shit's hysterical.
I'm thinking about like something that makes me laugh every time I watch it.
And if you're questioning whether or not this is still about to be or not to be, it is. You just got to dig.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's probably, I think How High will never not make me laugh. Like,
How High made me laugh, but Half-Baked made me laugh.
I laugh hysterically every single time I watch. Like, there's no way I can go through the scene of, I'm a ghost, and not lose it. Every single time. And then him in the car be like, dude, he's a ghost. He's like, oh. Like, he needed that explanation to know that he couldn't walk through shit.
You know
like,
how that hard is I wanted...
Just, it's so good.
You know how hard I wanted to tangent when you said Mitch whatever's...
Mitch Hedberg.
Yeah.
Mitch Hedberg.
He's so funny.
Oh, jeez.
Yo.
No. Oh, my God.
The escalator
that
where I work...
so great.
The escalator where I work breaks so frequently, and every time...
Mitch Hedberg.
Mitch Hedberg. Escalators cannot be broken. They can just become stairs. Sorry for the convenience.
Sorry for the convenience.
Every time. See, it's
I don't,
so funny
I cannot
every time.
Even remember a single joke. Y'all keep saying them like, this is the first time I've heard that.
This was the most iconic thing about that night.
Mm-hmm.
Is to be watching Mitch Hedberg and to be laughing hysterically at his jokes.
Yeah.
And to see Jacob laugh hysterically. And it had absolutely nothing to do with Mitch Hedberg's joke.
Yo, the puzzle pieces don't connect. Yo, that shit killed me.
Like, why this?
Oh, man.
I could not.
That was a great night.
That was a really fun night.
That was a really fun night.
And I had to get your Uber Eats because you were like, I can't go to the door.
Oh, yeah,
dude, I ordered
come to the door.
Six.
You bought six burgers.
That was insane.
It was just six burgers.
Six burgers.
That was so funny.
Oh, like, man.
Like we said, we have fun here.
We have to do a bonus cast for people so they can know the full story of that night.
Oh,
that
man.
Is definitely going to be subscription based.
Yeah, exactly. That is not going to be free. That kills me, though. That was so funny.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Everything.
Dude, I fucking love this podcast. I really do.
It's way too fun. We have too much fun for me.
It, right? Like, it doesn't feel like work anymore.
No, it's good.
It probably never really did.
And no, it never will.
I was just deeply concerned that we were going to suck at it.
It's great.
One of the few compliments I've received is that we sound natural doing it. It's not doesn't feel forced, so.
Mm. That's good.
Yeah.
Keep that up.
Yeah. I definitely want to re-record Education, though.
Two bros
chilling in a hot tub 5 feet away because they're not good.
Oh my god. That's why I can't. That's why I can't remember anything now. I can't remember directions. I can't remember people's names. I can't remember shit because everything in my head is a Vine. It's just Vine's database. There's a remake of that Vine where someone goes to the same hotel room and they record it and there's no one in the hot tub. And they go, two bros. You're like, wait, where'd they go? That's it. It's so funny. It's so funny.
Oh, my God, bro. For all of you creative types out there making great comedy content,
please download TikTok. Yeah. TikTok is the best thing in the world right now.
You know, I don't even have TikTok.
TikTok's been great.
Is iconic.
It's been really great.
There's so much good content.
And the fact that really famous Viners have started... to gravitate towards TikTok again is beautiful.
Yes. Honestly, it's funny to see, but a lot of them are past their prime.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of them are past their primes,
and
it's real funny.
The only one who, like, still really gets me is King Batch. King Batch.
Why? People hate him.
I love King Batch.
Okay.
He's hilarious to me.
Okay.
Every time.
What's he known for? What videos?
Garbage.
I'm trying to think.
You know who's the best? Cody Cohen and Will Miller. At Tiny Meat Gang, their podcast, their music, they are hysterical. Funniest people on the planet. Easy.
All right, guys, we've plugged you like 3 times. It's time to pay up.
Just hit me up.
Yeah.
DM me at the Grispo, GRISPO.
There you go.
It's a green screen. I'm wearing a green screen suit in front of a green screen. That's my Grispo picture.
The Grispo. Sounds like it could be like an independent horror film.
The Grispo?
Yeah, I can see that.
It really does.
I really like the name. My username used to be Corey3520.
Way worse.
It was cool. It was fine. It was like, oh, some numbers. That's my name. My friend's like, you know what? We were sitting at Jimmy John's back home. You got to change it. They were like, the Grispo. Dude, I was like, facts.
That reminds me. We've never plugged like our own personal stuff. We probably should. Because
it's garbage. I haven't posted on mine in ages.
I haven't either, but this would definitely help me to do so.
Yeah, like, that's true.
If you guys
I used to post all the time. Best thing about film school was every single person that went there was a photographer. I had so many great pictures of myself, just like from them shooting all the time.
Could I practice on you?
Sure. Yeah. Sure, I don't give a shit. Or like we'd go out somewhere and they just have their camera on them and I'd get pictures. Sweet, cool, I've got pictures to post.
You get to the point where you could just hang pictures in your house and people believe that you were a model at some point.
I have nothing. I don't take pictures of myself. No. I don't do selfies. No. I can't post anything.
You know, that small tangent, have you ever seen somebody who has themselves as a screensaver?
Yes.
Like, not with somebody.
Yes.
But just themselves.
That's insane to me.
It's fucking crazy.
Mine is a Casey Neistat-inspired wallpaper that says, do more. I need to do more work. That's my constant reminder.
Mine is the galaxy, because I love the galaxy. Like,
how do you know? Mine's my face. Are you kidding me? Like whose is your face? Who does that?
If we're going through it and talking about being artsy, mine has been stuck on my what would you call it? Arrangement of grape figs.
It doesn't look like it.
Into a shape that reminds me of the crown of God.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Tree of wisdom and the roots
Turned
of
off,
that.
But I know what you're talking about.
Are the crown?
Yes.
So it's and like, then he was a fisherman.
I remember when you tried to get us to guess what that was, and I was like, I got no clue.
At what juncture is that okay?
But like, wait, it's so weird. Can I just? I don't watch this show enough, and I need to watch it more. But when you said, "I have nothing," you literally sounded like Bob's wife in Bob's Burgers.
Oh my God!
And it made me so happy.
It's a funny show. I also have a little bit of a sore throat, so my voice is different.
Yeah,
but
he just said. You remind him of Bob's wife.
But she's got, like, a lower register voice.
She does, yeah.
And so it's very like, Bob!
Did I just watch the episode with you where they prank?
I haven't watched it in a long time.
Yo, the meme from that show is killing it right now. Where's the,
yes.
I hope you're excited, kids, but I'm going to kill myself.
Oh,
it's
no.
It's so funny. I'm glad you kids are. Oh, no. Spoiler alert for Endgame, if you haven't seen Endgame. It was like when Tony is about to snap Thanos and his army away, and it's like, the audience is cheering. And it's like, I'm glad you kids are excited, but I'm about to kill myself. It's so good. It's so funny. Every time it gets me.
I really appreciate that show on so many levels, and I need to watch more of it.
I've seen a lot of it in passing.
Yeah. I just, there's so much that I love about it.
Unpopular opinion. Endgame is trash. At me, bro.
Oh my God.
Okay. At me, bro.
I will like, at you. I would at you, but you don't use social media, so I can't.
All right. I'll get a Twitter account again.
There we go.
God.
Twitter is fun.
I will get a Twitter account.
Twitter is fun.
I should just
And I love Instagram. Mine. I just don't have pictures to post.
You know what the only thing in life that makes me feel like an old man? Twitter.
Mm-hmm. No, that's the thing. You need to download it so you can keep up on shit. That's why I have it. So
I have it.
Because high schoolers move at the speed of light with
at
trends.
At the speed? No, they're so much faster.
That's
than
why
that.
I have TikTok, and that's why I have Twitter, so I can stay.
Do you want to know the only social media posts that don't get any interaction?
What?
That we post? Twitter. Because I post it, And it's the moment I post it, 100 more posts have already come in.
Yes, but
you've got to be like...
It's impressive.
You've got to be consistent.
Yeah.
On Twitter. Like, Twitter
is... You have to interact with people.
Twitter's the fucking jungle,
dude. That's the hardest part. It's a full-time job.
Jungle?
Yeah.
It's not... Like, Facebook and Instagram, you can post something up, and your people are going
to see it.
Somebody
will get to them eventually, yeah.
Through sharing, it's like that, this person liked this thing. Twitter, you have to be active.
Because Twitter's like the moment that you clicked enter. Like, 400,000 people just clicked enter.
Yeah, that's what it is.
It's kind of
just a journal that is posted.
So if you're interacting with people, people are coming to your page... And that's how your posts get seen.
Yeah.
Like, they don't get seen through, like, very rarely, I imagine, they get seen through being just witty enough.
And this is why...
Because it just gets lost in the
Twitter. This is why I don't use Twitter. It's so exhausting. The idea that I would be an active Twitter user is exhausting.
It's so funny.
And
it's
that's
so...
why I feel like an old man.
No, it's so worth it. It's so worth it. Look at this picture. Okay, look at this post. It's so... Just... It's so fucking funny. All it says is... Am I fumbling the bag? And it's a kid looking at himself in the mirror. That's so fucking funny. That's so goddamn funny.
This should be our picture for
the
podcast.
It's so funny.
Man, come on, guys.
Look at that. That's perfect. That is genuinely perfect for it to be or not to be.
Am I fumbling the bag? That's all it is. It took 2 seconds, and I laughed my ass off, and I retweeted it for people to see. And then the other day, I tweeted, fuck time zones. I set my clocks to Penguin Standard Time. That's for all my Club Penguin friends out there, where they had a universal time, so you could meet people on Club Penguin at a certain time. That was hysterical. I thought that was so funny.
Club Penguin has changed lives, bro.
Yo, Club Penguin is where it's at. Also, okay, so two different websites have bought the rights to Club Penguin. So there's Club Penguin rewritten, and there's Club Penguin Online. Club Penguin Online, I think, is newer. Club Penguin rewritten is like... 20 is like older Club Penguin. So you can get like the what it was just before it shut down and then like almost OG.
Yeah.
Well, not quite OG, but like pretty old. And there's beef between the two, which is so funny to me. I was reading some forums. I was like, what's the difference? And they were like, yo, community's way better on rewritten. Fuck online. I was like, whoa, what is going on? I made accounts on both. I'm playing through them and I fucking love it. I miss Club Penguin so much. And. There's no Disney moderators, so you can say whatever the fuck you want now.
Oh, yeah.
It is so funny. It's way too funny. Club Penguin was, what's up?
I miss Club Penguin. I had no idea.
They're both back.
I just am saying, like, no, I missed.
Oh,
it.
Yeah. Oh,
really?
Oh,
that's crazy.
Yeah. So, again, old man.
Yeah, oh, dude. Man.
But an old man who's thriving. Ha-ha! We're good. We're chilling. We're fine.
That was the most middle-aged statement I've ever heard in my entire
life. Dude, I'm easing into my fatherhood lifestyle.
Listen to this. Listen to this tweet. I'm so hungover from all the vibes I had last night. That's so fucking funny. That's so funny. Twitter's just here to make you laugh. That's all it's for. That's so funny.
See, that's not the stuff I see on Twitter, though.
See,
I'm on the other.
Well, that's the thing. I'm probably a very unexciting Twitter user because if I'm going to post something, it's probably going to be like a new NASA announcement.
Mm.
I'm probably not going to put shit that makes you laugh. Or I'm going to write like 3 sentences that make you contemplate what you're doing with your life. That's the two things I'm going to do on the tweet. That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know how to turn that off.
Okay, tweet that from up and out. And then you can make your own account and then just do like, yo, what the fuck is up with chicken nuggets?
Well, actually, you could be very successful on Twitter because you have the most beautiful dog in the world. And all it would take is just posting pictures and videos of Lily every day. And you would
your
become
beard.
Like, Lily would become the most known.
Lily and the beard. That's the Twitter handle.
Yeah.
There we go. Make an account, please.
Yeah. Beauty and the Beast. You figure out which one's the beast. We're striking it. All right. I'm calling it.
Yeah, I think
time of death.
Jesus,
to be or not to be.
Subscribe, follow, download,
leave a review. We're on Spotify now.
Share with your friends. We are on Spotify. We're on everything now.
We're on Google Play if you can find us. I'm trying to work that out, but if you go to the website, you do have a direct link to iTunes and Spotify.
Yeah, the man's trying to bring us down, but we're not going to take it. Love you guys. We're out.
Thanks for listening.